Things this evening in Jesus' name. It's good to be with you, brothers and sisters, here at Pleasant Hill. Our thoughts have been this way, maybe more because of Dan, but we'll be thinking of and praying for you this week as well, and holding him up in prayer. Brother Dan asked that we would read the scripture that's printed on the card. It's taken there from Acts chapter 18. Acts 18, verse 18. Through 28, the end of the chapter. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Chantria, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And then when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. With this scripture in our minds, let's kneel together, all who are able.
I trust again that is the prayer of our heart, that God will reveal to us through his word things that are hidden there. I am confident that he can reveal to you things that are in his word that I never say, as he ministers among us tonight. This is what we count on, his work among us. I'm encouraged again and challenged by your presence. Trust you had a good day. I'm challenged by the effort that you made to come out to worship and to be with us tonight as we look into God's word. Had an afternoon of visiting with Brother Brian, and it was a good time. As we prayed together at one point, he prayed that God would help me as I reviewed my sermon and get ready for tonight again, that God would direct me to say the things that should be said and leave unsaid the things that should be left unsaid. I appreciate that. Made me think of Brother Merle Bevenauer. I heard him say already that after he preached a sermon sometimes, Patsy would tell him if he's going to use that sermon again, he should bail it a little tighter. So I've been working on this sermon, and I guess I'm wondering if when I'm done, some of you might think he maybe should have worked a little longer. But at any rate, you pray, I'll preach, and we'll let the rest up to God. The events in the scripture that was read this evening occurred near the end of what we call Paul's second missionary journey. It was an eventful trip. It began pretty much there at Derbe and Lystra, where Paul met Timothy, and we know that they had a long and fruitful ministry together, and Paul tutored him and mentored him and wrote letters to him, inspired by God's Spirit, by which we still profit. He moved on to Philippi, and there he met Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, and she came to the Lord, and there he and Silas were arrested, put in prison, beaten, sang hymns and praised God at midnight. God performed a great miracle there, and the jailer and his family were converted, and a church was started there that was a very faithful and productive church. And again, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to them from which we benefit yet today. He went from there on to Thessalonica and ministered there, and God used him to start another church, and a disturbance arose, and he moved on to Berea. He found there that the Jewish people to whom he went to first were more open than the others at Thessalonica. They were ready to hear, and people were coming to the Lord, but some at Thessalonica got word of it. They didn't appreciate it. They came down, started another disturbance. God still had his way, and a church was born, and Paul moved on to Athens. Athens was a great city, a university city, home of world-renowned philosophers, a place where the intelligentsia, the brains of the ancient world came, and Paul had the opportunity to minister there as well and preach the gospel on Mars Hill. We read about that in Acts chapter 17. In Acts 18, the chapter we're looking at here this evening, or had read for us part of it this evening, Paul comes to Corinth. Corinth was a wicked city, not the place that you would think necessarily really open to the gospel, but you know, God is able to open hearts anywhere. And Paul was drawn there, led there by the Spirit, began to preach the gospel and make Christ known in Corinth. And we learn right up front in the beginning of Acts 18 there, verse 2, that he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. They got together because they were of the same trade. I don't know if Aquila and Priscilla were believers at this point or not. I'm imagining they were not. We're not told, I don't think. But they were tent makers. Paul was a tent maker. He lodged with them. They took him in, and he worked with them to support himself as he began to make Christ known in Corinth. Now, we don't know a lot of detail about Priscilla and Aquila, how they came to the Lord and everything, but we want to learn some characteristics or some qualities from their lives that are good examples for us. The message is not so you be a good example. That's not the emphasis, but the emphasis is, let's see the qualities in this couple's life and emulate them. And not only that, and we'll look at Apollos' life a little later as well. And so the first thing that I want to notice about Aquila and Priscilla is that I believe they were a hospitable couple. And hospitality includes generosity. And again, I'm going to use my imagination a little bit, and you can follow with me and see where we go. I'm imagining that Priscilla came from a well-to-do, distinguished family of pretty high standing in Rome, but they were forced to leave Rome. Haley's Bible Handbook says that there's inscriptions in the catacombs that hint that was the case. I imagine she was a very talented, capable lady, able to do a lot of things well. And I imagine Aquila to be a man of good character, but from a family not quite as high socially as Priscilla's. But he, I imagine, was an industrious, hardworking, diligent kind of fellow, someone nice to be around, not really the life of the party kind of guy, but somebody that you'd want on your team in a tough situation. He was just a good, solid, steady type fellow. And I imagine that even though he didn't come from a family maybe as high socially as Priscilla's, her family recognized his good qualities and character and welcomed him into their family as they got married. I'm not sure, but I picture that Priscilla was maybe the more outgoing and talkative of the two, more sociable type person, but with a servant heart and a desire to be of benefit to others. I don't know that they were real happy about being at Corinth. They didn't come there because they were looking for someplace else to go. They were commanded to get out of Rome with the other Jews. And so they came to Corinth. I'm not sure why. But there they were. And sometime, not long after they got there at Corinth and set up shop, the Apostle Paul arrived. And again, they were tent makers. He was a tent maker. They got together. I'm assuming that he did good work, had a good reputation of one who was easy to deal with and did good work. And here was another man with skills that they could use. And they made a place for him in their home and put him to work. And they worked together. I am not sure again, but I'm thinking that maybe it was during this time, as they interacted with each other and did work and conversed, that they began to realize Paul hadn't come to Corinth to make tents. He had come with another purpose. And they were Jews. They would have been exposed to the scriptures. And I believe the Apostle Paul, maybe even as they made tents or repaired tents, explained to them how the scriptures were fulfilled in Jesus Christ, how his death and burial and life and his resurrection all were shown there and fulfilled in him, and certainly he was the Messiah. And I'm thinking that perhaps they realized that's true, and that's when they believed the gospel. That's when they repented and became believers. I'm not sure. I just think it could have happened that way, and we're not told, so I'm imagining it happened that way. And I imagine that that being hospitable and generous, and realizing that Paul was there to spread that gospel, that they you had him in their home, said he abode with them, he stayed with them. But maybe they didn't charge him so much for room and board. Maybe they let him live there pretty cheap. Maybe they were just being generous. Maybe Aquila worked a little overtime so he would have money to help support him. And Aquila maybe, or Priscilla maybe worked a little extra. Maybe made some meals so that Paul, who didn't have a home of his own, could invite some others over. And in a less formal setting, explain to them from the scriptures as well how Jesus Christ's life and death and burial and resurrection was all there in the Old Testament, and how he was the Messiah and how he had come and was the Lamb of God who had been slain, shed his blood to take away the sin of the world, and gave him opportunity to point others to Jesus. I imagine that their home was used for prayer meetings and things like that as well. I believe that they were hospitable, generous people, inviting people into their home, not to impress them or to just feel good about themselves, but to serve the Lord and to build up his kingdom. I wouldn't be surprised if years later, when Paul wrote to Titus, he had Aquila and Priscilla on his mind when he wrote to Titus to encourage the people in his church to, among other things, be ready for every good work. That was Aquila and Priscilla, ready for every good work. Maybe you're one of those people. Maybe you're like me. You could do better at that. We have people, you know, serving is one of the gifts of the Spirit. Some people can just see what needs done and do it. And it's amazing how they serve people, often without being noticed, without asking for notice, but being a blessing and serving others. And we're thankful for them. There's a Dutch proverb that says, when there's room in the heart, there's room in the house. Well, that was Aquila and Priscilla. They made room in their house because they had room in their heart. They were hospitable and generous, and we should be too. Another thing that I believe that Aquila and Priscilla were is that I believe they were available. And what I mean by available is that they were ready to go and do what God wanted them to go and do when he called on them to do it. They were forced out of Rome. They had moved to Corinth, not of their own choice. But if you read through the New Testament, you'll find them here and there in different places. And even right here in the passage that was read, I believe it's here in verse 18 where we started. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. They went along. Sounds like, at least partway, they went to Ephesus. He went on. I'm thinking they stayed at Ephesus. But they moved to Corinth because they had to get out of Rome. But why did they go along with Paul now? We're not really told. It's a question that we can wonder about. I doubt if it was because of better climate. May have been closer to family, but not likely. Was there more money to be made in Ephesus? Maybe. But I doubt if that's why they went either. I'm not sure. But I have a notion that Aquila and Priscilla went to Ephesus because they believed that's where God wanted them for now. That's where God could use them best in the building of his kingdom and the spreading of the gospel. Again, I'm not sure, but we're not told. I'm imagining that's why they went. At any rate, they were available to go if called upon. We do know that when Paul wrote his first letter to the Corinthians sometime later, we believe it was from Ephesus, that he sent greetings from Aquila and Priscilla back to Corinth. Many of them there would, of course, have personally known this generous, hospitable couple who had been among them and had moved on. And he said when he sent those greetings that he saluted them in the Lord. He said, Aquila and Priscilla salute you in the Lord with the church that is in their house. We don't have to wonder if they use their home as a place for God's people to worship and pray and fellowship. Then we're told they were meeting there. And so we see them being available, making themselves available, making their resources available, and continuing their practice of hospitality and generosity and being available. Apparently, they moved a few more times as well, because in Paul's letter to the Romans, near the end of the letter, he included greetings to Aquila and Priscilla. Apparently, at some point, they moved back to Rome or somewhere near Rome, and he called them there my helpers in Christ Jesus. They must have been back in Rome at that time. It seems that Aquila, Priscilla seemed available to go wherever they needed, wherever God needed them, whenever he needed them. Someone has said that availability is giving our hearts, not just our hands, to a task. And again, I believe that was personified in Aquila and Priscilla. That's what they did. They are an example of availability. Certainly, that's something that I can do better at. Maybe you can too. Not all of us will be called to move from state to state or country to country, but some of us may be, and whether we are or not, let's ask God to help us learn to be available to meet the needs of those around us as best we can as he makes them known to us. We sing sometimes, don't we? I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Or land, or mountain, or land, or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. That speaks of availability. God help us to be that. So they were hospitable. They were generous and available to do the Lord's work. And another thing that I think they were is they were sensitive to other people and how they related to them. Again, this is a quality that some people seem to have more naturally. Maybe the people with a gift of mercy tend to be more keyed into the spirits of others. And some of us need to learn from them how to be more sensitive. And I'll tell you why I think that they were sensitive to the needs of others. Paul had moved on, and I think it's still, while they were at Ephesus, it says there in verse 2, there was a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus with his wife Priscilla, and here there's a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria. He was an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, and he came to Ephesus. And it says in verse 25, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in spirit, and he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So here was Apollos, a man God had gifted with speaking ability, and he loved the Lord, and he was on fire for the Lord. Version says that he was a terrific speaker, eloquent and powerful in preaching the scriptures. He was diligent in it. He spoke and taught diligently, accurately, exactly the best he knew, the things of the Lord. And his knowledge was accurate as far as it went, but it wasn't perfect. And Aquila and Priscilla would been able to detect this. Now, what should they do about us? Paul wasn't there. They couldn't ask him. He couldn't deal with it. But they were there, and they could detect this. And what should they do? Well, they didn't have the New Testament to turn to like we do. We're reading their life. The New Testament wasn't written yet. We're reading it. Any letters the apostles had already written would have been sent to churches, and maybe or maybe not, they had an opportunity to read them. They didn't have the scriptures to turn to, but they knew something was amiss here, and they needed to decide what to do about it. They realized that what Apollos needed was some encouragement, some information, some education, some instruction, He didn't really need a rebuke. He was doing the best he knew, and he was doing it with all his heart. They didn't want to embarrass him or to make a big deal of it. They wanted to build him up and help him. And so I think they probably invited him home. It says there that they drew him aside or something like that. Can't pick it out right now, but they didn't get up in front of the church and say, "You got that mixed up, Brother Apollos. Now, this is the way it is." They took him home. They got him aside. I think probably for a meal. Maybe not. Probably at least pie and ice cream, don't you think? I'm not sure. But they got him in a private setting and there explained the way of God to him more accurately, more perfectly, more completely. And to me, that speaks of a sensitive spirit to the needs of another brother. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is he that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Aquila and Priscilla spoke health to Apollos. Well, that's some things we can learn from Aquila and Priscilla. They were hospitable, generous, available, and sensitive in dealing with others. Let's look quickly at some characteristics of Apollos, this on-fire preacher that they helped instruct in a sensitive way. He was enthusiastic, and that's a quality that we should have. You know, I've heard that enthusiasm or enthusiastic, that the base word comes from two other root words, en meaning in, and theos, which is God. A truly enthusiastic person is one in whom God is having his way. God in us, the way he wants to be, is the picture of enthusiasm. It speaks of Apollos here, being fervent in spirit. I believe he spoke with passion and intensity and enthusiasm. I believe that's the way he lived his life. It says he was an eloquent speaker. He was mighty in the spirit. And he was enthusiastic, a quality that we need to have as well. He was someone who, as it were, boiled over with his love for God and others. And that is something that I can do. God can have more of me. Can he have more of you? I don't know. God can have more of me. You pray for me. You know, most of us can get pretty enthusiastic, pretty passionate about something. Some of us are passionate about our work. Some of us are passionate about hunting. Some people are passionate about disc golf or pickleball or baseball or whatever else. Maybe something you do, maybe something you follow. We can be passionate about all kinds of things. But God says, be passionate about my things. Be passionate. We're told in Romans 12:10-11, be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That talks about enthusiasm. We're called to love one another fervently in 1 Peter 2. We're to be on fire, fervent. hot in our love for others. James tells us in James 5:6 that the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, is very powerful, and is useful. And in Titus chapter 2, we learn that Jesus Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people zealous, passionate, enthusiastic about doing good works. Apollos was an enthusiastic example for us. He was also a humble person. The reason I say he was a humble person is because he was willing to learn. You might think that someone who's really enthusiastic and humble is a contradiction, that they can't be both at the same time, but they really can be. You know, the person that knows the most about their job is willing to learn from someone else who may know something yet that they don't know. Someone said a long time ago that it's hard to teach people anything. The people that know it all, it's hard to teach them anything. And if we need to have this a humble spirit, and that's what he had. Aquila and Priscilla explained to him what he was lacking, and he was willing to be taught, willing to learn from others. He, as the gifted, eloquent, respected preacher, was willing to sit, as it were, at the feet of some of his congregation and learn. That speaks of humility to me. You know, Christ himself, the perfect man, was humble. One of the characteristics that we're told about him explicitly in the New Testament is his great humility. And that's what he wants us to be. Regardless of our position or station in life or in the church, whatever it might be, let's be willing to be like Apollos and learn from others and sit at their feet and allow them to teach us things that we may not know. One more thing about Apollos, and that is he was a diligent worker. There's no indication that when he was told of where he was in error and things that he didn't quite understand, that he got upset and sulked and went off into a corner and stopped serving and said, well, if I can't do it good enough, I'm not going to do anything. And none of that. He continued to serve faithfully and diligently. And because he was willing to do that, he was of benefit to the Lord and to his church and to the kingdom of God. So much so there that when he felt moved to move away from Ephesus and go across to Achaia, the church there wrote letters commending him to those to whom he was going and saying, take this guy in, listen to him, let him speak to you, let him teach you. He has gifts that God can use to strengthen you. And that's what they did. Well, that's what I have for you tonight. God, help us to be more hospitable, available, sensitive to the needs of others, enthusiastic, humble, and diligent. This isn't really evangelistic type message, but I know God's people have been praying, and maybe there's someone here that senses a need to recommit their life to the Lord, or maybe God's been working in your heart and tonight you want to surrender your heart and will to the Lord. We want to sing two verses of a hymn, and if that's your desire, I ask you to stand until you're recognized while we sing. What will we sing? 670, that would be in the Brother and Hymnal, 670.